Right now, if you're scaffing, critting, screeding, HVACing, dunny diving, or electricianing and sparking, then you don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with a work truck that's smoking. You could get an insurance company that includes roadside assistant for when your work truck ain't starting and needs towing. Get on to truckassist.com.au. It's insurance to keep on earning and bacon and egg rolling. Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website.
This week on Full Credit to the Noise, Will Brown refuses to read the 888 script. Explosions coming out of the Perth supercar round, and even more explosions in the NASCAR paddock. Welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. You can find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at FCTTN Podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke across from me on Twitter at AVL_motorsport. He's on Instagram at AVL.motorsport. He's on Viber at AVL Heavy Breathing. He's the man who this week was declared a big winner after the federal budget. He's denied spending 35 minutes searching for a fuel cap on his rented Tesla. And tonight he's wearing entry stamps from four Perth nightclubs. Welcome to Speed Cafe's Andrew Van Leeuwen.
Thank you, former, for that hugely accurate introduction. I did show some of my Eastern States friends a bit of Perth culture on Sunday night, by which I mean Crown Casino, a few hours after a somewhat unexpected West Coast Eagles win at Optus Stadium. So
very impressive, actually.
There were some pretty interesting characters kicking about the Cass late on a Sunday night. It was good to cut a few laps around the roads in that Crown Optus Stadium precinct, though. Just saying.
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. But ordinarily, you give me the opportunity to open the batting at this point of our show. But let's just get straight to the point here, because I understand some of the more fiery incidents weren't in the Super 2s, despite what you would think if you were watching Fox Sports on the weekend from Perth.
Yeah.
Let us in on it. What happened? Tell me.
Yeah, look, it was I think this is a good starting point, former. It was certainly one of the more interesting post-race paddock sweeps of my career on Sunday evening at the track, and I do genuinely mean that. So I was in conversation with David Noble from DJR when Barry Ryan approached me and politely asked if I'd join him in the Erebus garage, which I was more than happy to do. I walked in to the entire team in their huddle. Well, the entire team except one person who shockingly wasn't there, but anyway. And these huddles are a pretty common thing that teams do. They do it after the pack up and before they depart the circuit at the end of the weekend. Most teams do it. It's a bit of a motivational, you know, like, let's, you know,
wrap the weekend up kind of thing. Yeah. Put a full stop on it.
Yeah. Anyway, Barry proceeded to introduce me to the entire team with my full name and place of business. Said that my reporting is shit as I tried to defend myself as just being a guy trying to do his job. It was incredibly awkward for every single person involved. I decided to bite my tongue and depart the scene. I was in a bit of shock, to be perfectly honest, at what was kind of unfolding in front of me. Once the huddle was finished, I went back and expressed my disappointment with Barry's actions to him privately, which led to a somewhat fiery discussion about what has happened and my role in it over the past few months. To summarize the perspective from Barry and the Erebus Comms manager, Carly Hammersley, you know, their perspective is that there was never any dispute. It was all made up by us to get clicks. Brody was
mentally unwell. You're talking about the dispute between Brody and the team, obviously.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Brody was mentally unwell for unrelated reasons, and we've done all this damage by reporting on things like, you know, the fact the reigning champion wasn't on the grid for the first round.
Right.
That, according to Barry and Carly, wasn't newsworthy, not in the public interest, which is, you know, a clearly absurd take on all of this. Carl actually told me in her experience as a journalist, if you can't quote a source, it shouldn't be a news story, which is equally absurd. You know, the hardest hitting breaking news stories usually don't have quotes.
No, I would have thought that might have been a excuse of convenience, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a statement that's incredibly misguided and perhaps forgivable when you're, you know, talking to somebody without any media experience. But when it comes from someone who starts a sentence with "when I was a journalist," it's a pretty eye-opening sort of thing to say. I think you're probably exactly right. It's an excuse of convenience. Like, it's obviously what they wish was going on, not what is going on.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, look, it's just time to call this out because this is the tipping point, not the start. You know, Barry has sent me and other journalists plenty of abusive text messages over the past few months as this whole thing has unfolded. We've got pretty thick skins. You have to in this business. We often just let this shit go. But, you know, the attempt at the kind of public humiliation was, that was it for me, which is why, you know, I feel it's time to actually speak about this.
Okay. Let me ask you some questions that I'm sure punters out there would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this was something that was predetermined, that this was set up, or do you think that just by convenience, you walking down pit lane, that you were invited into the what would be called a public humiliation in a team?
Yeah.
Or do you think it was thought through first?
I honestly don't know. I mean, like I say, I didn't sort of walk in. Or I did walk into it after, you know, Barry asked me to come in.
Mm.
What? And I don't know if he planned for it to be sort of a personal attack or to me. So here's the thing. Here's the great shame about this entire situation. Like, if Barry had called me into that huddle and gave a rousing, just had me stand to the side while he gave a rousing speech to his crew about their weekend.
Yeah, you know, sure.
And if they'd all responded with gusto and enthusiasm, that would have sent a very powerful message. You know, and that would be a message that I might have brought back to this forum right here. And we might be having a conversation right now with me saying, hey, despite what that team's been through, they are thick as thieves and good on them for that. That opportunity
they're not letting stuff
was
beat
there.
Them.
That opportunity was there and that should have been the premeditated idea. And maybe that's what he planned to do. But instead, he just attacked me in front of a group of people and it was really awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But it was really awkward and it was really unnecessary. And I felt for everyone in the room because it just... Geez, it was a talk about a tough crowd. And look, I'm just going to come out and say this. For someone who is fighting off the perception of being a bully at the moment, I'm just not sure, you know, a classic schoolyard bullying tactic like that was the right way to go.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't have thought anyone would advise you on that's the way you should be handling yourself, especially with the media. Look, I come from a background that's rugby league where there are a lot of thick skins in the game of rugby league. Both sides of the fence, that is, too, by the way. I find this to be surprising yet not surprising, if that makes sense.
Yeah, look, it was definitely surprising at the time, I'll tell you that much. I guess there was two parts of it. There was the huddle and then there was the conversation afterwards. I think in isolation, if I just had that conversation, this wouldn't be the forum I'd be talking about it in, but I think in the entire context of it, it needs to be brought up. It's time for it to be brought up. The crux of the entire issue seems to be that the Barry blames the media for what has happened to that team.
Right.
You know, that's really where it starts and stops. And myself and Speak FA have most certainly been at the forefront of the reporting of this saga. You know, we broke the news that Brody wouldn't be at the first round.
Mm.
We broke the news or the majority of the news about the sponsors leaving, you know?
Yes.
We broke the news about, you know, there being a favourite for someone to buy the team from Betty.
But none of that's been wrong so far.
All we are doing is our jobs. And all we can ever do is report on things that have happened or are happening.
Mm.
We are reactionary. We are not the cause.
Yes.
We didn't cause the rift. We didn't tell Brody not to turn up to the first two rounds. Mm. We didn't tell Coca-Cola to cut and run and leave the team. We only report things that happen well outside of our control. So for that then to be put on me and put on us is ludicrous. It really is.
Yeah.
So, look, the whole thing was a fascinating insight into the management of that team, a first-hand insight that I now have.
Mm.
And for Barry to have chosen that path in that moment when we were all in that garage was, in my opinion, a very poor choice. And that's all I'll say.
Do you want to add any more? Because I have one more question.
Yeah, no, sorry. That's all I'll say on that particular statement there. But no, please ask away.
Have you heard from anyone in that team after the incident, and you don't have to name them, obviously, who has given you any feedback after it?
No.
Okay. One last thing, and then I'll probably think of 20 more things during the show.
We can see you back.
Yes. for a bloke who was sick of talking about Erebus, here we are again.
Yes, I know. Apologies. I did think that while this is all going around, man, Form is going to be upset about this.
Oh, did you say, Barry, no, please. Please don't do this. I made a promise. What, and I guess I'm asking you to put yourself in Barry's shoes. What do you think Barry was hoping to get out of this except for some sort of shot across the bow, a cheap shot?
I guess the idea was to put me on the spot in front of, you know, in front of the team, in front of the majority of the team. And again, you know, I would hope that the initial idea was that, you know, I'd come in and see a strongly united team and strong leadership from Barry, and that it kind of went pear-shaped from there. Because, you know, if his idea was just to stand me there and try and pull my pants down in front of everyone, that's far less than ideal.
No one wants that. No one wants you to pull your pants down.
So, you know, I don't I would hope that the idea was that it was just to try and show a sign of a strong united team, but that is certainly not how the situation played out, like, at all. It was a really difficult situation for him to put a whole group of people into, to be honest. And, you know, as I sort of quickly scanned around before I hightailed it out of there, because it was really uncomfortable. Like, it was super uncomfortable. It's not, but it wasn't intimidating in the way of, you know, it would just look like people quite confused and, just really trying to nut out what the heck was going on in that moment. And I feel like probably a lot of people were asking the same question. What was the end game of this little scenario here?
One final thing.
Okay.
Was he the only one that spoke while you're in the sheds?
There was a question about who had been at the team the year before or something like that. And there was, you know, some people raised hands, but yes, there was no one, addressed me directly. No one else. Okay. Apart from Barry.
Have you ever heard or had a situation like this in any other time in your career? And given that it's not a 3-week career, by the way, this is, you've been doing this for quite a while.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah. So this isn't like, you know, you didn't start yesterday, you're not an apprentice. Have you ever heard of any of this happening in this way?
Oh, not at all. So like I say, if you were to isolate the conversation with Barry and Carly afterwards, that happens.
Of course.
And again, I wouldn't actually be having this conversation in this forum.
If that's what it was.
That was all that had happened.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, the being pulled into the garage was, and sorry, not being pulled, being invited into the garage and then ending up in that scenario. Yeah, that's a new one.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, I just drank beer and sat on a lounge and watched supercars. So that was pretty much my weekend. It wasn't as cool as yours. No.
And the only person I would have swapped you at that moment, I can tell you right now.
Well, you say that until you see how angry my missus was by Sunday afternoon. She said, "What have you done this weekend?" Okay, I'm going to cover off on the good, the bad, and the ugly, or let's call it something else. Yay and yuck from the weekend of Barber Gallo. I want to talk about yay first, some positive. I want to add some positive to this show because right now there's not a whole heap.
No.
Can I just say, and I wrote this list a lap before his car decided to hate itself and put itself on fire, but Mason Kelly was performing out of his skin on Sunday in the Super 2, and I was so happy to see it. I've watched the kid for a few years now. He has shown promise. You know, he drove the mark in the Sports Sedan race at Sandown, and really he actually showed that he had an older head on his shoulders than probably he did at that stage. But so I was really, really disappointed and upset for him to see that car lunch itself and then to try and destroy itself. But I just want to say, it doesn't change the fact that he had a cracking weekend. Keep your head up, young man. I reckon there's some good things coming your way. He just needs to shake that luck off that his old man had, because Todd could find some dramas in himself, and I'm sure he'd be the first to admit it. So, Mason, I don't know if you do listen, but if you do, keep at it, mate. I don't think you're far away from something good.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great to see him going so well, and then obviously devastating with what happened in that second race. But I totally agree. He's got a lot of promise. Another driver that was a real standout on Saturday in Super 2 was Cody Gillis.
Yes.
In the BJR car. That was really impressive the way he drove there. And I think we're going to circle back to this, but Zach Bates, you know, winning a race. That's just a great news story. You know, he was there helping WAU pack down on Sunday night a few hours after taking his first win, which kind of sums up exactly why the team just love that guy. You know, they really love that kid. They think he's great and they think he's a great driver. And he kind of, I think he got a bit, he got lucky and unlucky last year, but being paired with Brian Wood, you know, like a generational talent, that was a tough situation to be in because Zach can, he can pedal a car real good as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think his time will come, mate. I think that he's not far away either. So, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Something else that deserves a yay from the weekend was just the Aussie Racing Cars, mate. I thought they had a decent field. They put on a good show. They always go well on small tracks, I always find. Yep. And for a support category, geez, I reckon they're underrated. And when they disappeared off our sort of periphery for a few years, you kind of forgot about them. But when they come back and you see them racing on tracks like that, racing as hard as they do, and the racing's all the way through the field, I think they deserve a yay because it was a really good exhibition from them.
I agree. It's always a good category. I mean, it's a funny category because drivers tend to go in there and they don't necessarily come out again and go on and do other things. Yeah. It's a weird sort of
Dave Bernard driving one at Adelaide.
Yeah.
That was at the same time he was racing the supercar, by the way. That's something. Yeah, something
but
else.
But the racing is always good and probably, and you know, like I find radical racing kind of hard to watch, you know, and the juxtaposition of the two is crazy because you've got this just door banging action and then you sort of go to radical races, which, you know, are traditionally quite processional. And not all that exciting to watch. So I think that kind of makes Aussies look even better on a weekend like that.
Mm. Another one for the yay column is WAU. They had a win in the supercars. They had a pole. They had a front row lockout. Had an overall win in Super 2 and a race win for Zach Bates. Well done to the boys. And I know that there was a few people with some stories leading up to that were doing it hard. So to those people, I think that would have been the best elixir for them is the weekend they had. It was a pretty decent weekend.
It's hard not to enjoy that. And, I mean, just the contrast of two Walkinshaw cars on the front row of the grid in Perth, you know, after the last couple of years, the way they've gone in qualifying and that sort of stuff there, just says so much. And, you know, I think we talked about it last week, like that the time's been coming. Just the whole weekend was insanely good from a number of people in that team, which I'm pretty sure we'll come back to as well.
Yep. My final yay is for Will Brown. I mean, if he doesn't get sponsorship from Sprite or Silo, they're missing a great opportunity. Even on his bad weekends, he's going pretty good. I mean, if that's a bad weekend, he just knows how to turn lemons into lemonade, AVL.
That must be... For him, that must be the moment when you sort of go, oh, wow, I'm at a proper race team here.
100%.
That's the bad weekend?
Yep.
Let's go. Like,
remember when Jamie was in his absolute sweet spot a few years back? And, mate, his bad weekends were exactly what Brown's doing right now. Fourths, thirds. And you're like, he's still there. And I reckon the bloke in the shed next to and the car next to him must be thinking, just something, mate. You got to give me something here because this isn't going how we expected. But we'll get on to that later.
We'll elaborate on that on all of that a little bit later. But yeah, absolutely.
My yuck, and maybe you could give me some insight into this just from TV pictures. Was the crowd light on?
It was because I haven't seen a number, but it certainly didn't feel like the joint was jumping.
Some of the places I'm used to seeing no room and less grass, there was plenty of room.
Yeah,
and it just looked a little bit light on for mine.
Yeah, it's an odd one. There was some. I actually had some direct feedback chatting to people in the paddock about the fact that they feel like the traffic management's taken a bit of a backward step in the last couple of years because they actually had that joint humming pretty good in that way after because it used to be when I was a kid, we used to leave home at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to get in the queue to get into the track. But you know, drivers used to always miss sessions because they get stuck in the queue, and it was all part of it.
You did live in Broome, but
exactly. Well, actually, no, to the south, it feels like. Tell you what, even after just driving up and back every day, I feel like I could have driven to Broome a couple of times. But so I think there's a few factors like that maybe affect it. It didn't. Like I said, I haven't seen a number, but I never at any point looked around and went, "Wow, this thing's really, really vibing here."
Another yuck, and I don't like to do this, but Touring Car Masters, a pretty light on, 14 cars, not the best look, which actually turned into 11 by race three.
Yep.
And I get they're expensive. I get it's a long way to go to Perth. And I get that they're recovering from a dud TV deal. But pretty underwhelming, to be fair, and not the best advertisement for what was once a great category. Maybe for Perth, they need to find categories like Aussies who can share transporters and sort of get cars over there for cheaper, if that's what we need to do, because I didn't think that was a great representation of that category.
2018, they got a full grid of Kent-powered Formula Fords there. Local cars.
There you go.
It was banging racing. It's all one I'm with saying.
Hashtag Mum's Life sticker on it. Yep. My final yuck of the weekend, and I'm going to say it, it's an unpopular opinion. I struggle with Barber Gallo. There, I said it. I just feel Supercars has pretty much outgrown that place, and we just don't see that many great races anymore, especially shorter ones. We used to rely on tyre deg there. We don't even get that anymore, and I don't know, mate. I know Jamie Wincup was saying it was great racing and everything else. I don't know what he saw that I didn't.
No, the racing definitely wasn't. Racing definitely wasn't great. This format, I think the format's the deg is definitely leveled out. The joint doesn't deg like it used to. There's no doubt about that. When they resurfaced it in 04, the track was crazy fast. Like Slatey did a 59 in a Kent Formula Ford around there, which is like, that's how fast that surface was.
Yep.
And a year later, it was rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
This time, it never got that massive, you know, I think it was 2019 when they did it. It never got that massive uplift in grip, but it's not really changed since then. So just the aggregate that they use is just different and a lot more consistent, and which is good because, you know, it's not all about supercars. That's a club circuit, and, you know, a surface that doesn't just tear your tyres to bits is beneficial for your average club racer who's working on a budget and all that sort of stuff. But it has definitely come at a price of the racing product because it is a fairly difficult place to pass. You can really try and do it into one, or you've just got to get the big run, unsettle the car and go down into seven.
Move one around. You've got to move one.
Yeah. I think the format's got a fair bit to answer to here as well, because this new super sprint format, it ain't a sprint and it ain't, you know, a long race. It's just kind of somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really weird format, you know, and that's to take the weird practice sessions out of it. Like, what we were doing burning around on Sunday morning, I have no idea. But
that was very early, because I thought it was early for here.
No, that was the latest of the – that was 9:40 on the Sunday, but they were just – like, we had an hour practice on Friday. There did not need to be any more practice sessions.
That's no good either, by the way. That. An hour's practice sucks dog's balls.
Well, I don't mind. Practice is rubbish anyway. It's junk. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. It's going to be boring. It's literally practice. It's not meant to be exciting. It's like testing.
I get
testing
that.
Testing sounds like a great idea to go and watch until about 15 minutes into it. And you're like, oh, that's right. It's testing. But it's a weird format, this new super sprint format, because the races are too long to have three of them. But they're not long enough to kind of bring the real strategic elements into it. So, yeah, I don't really know what... I don't know. To me, it wasn't a barnstorming start to the new season.
No. I mean, I know over here in the East, most of the tracks are booked out because there is a limited number of tracks, especially in New South Wales, for club races and the like to use. What's Perth like? What's Barber Gallo like? Are they usually got a full card outside you know, big meetings?
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
So they're not going to go arse up if, you know, supercars...
No, on. I mean, the Sporting Car Club doesn't promote this event. It, you know, it rents the track out to supercars effectively.
Pretty much what Lindsay Fox wants to do.
And if it doesn't rent it out to supercars, it'll rent it out to someone else.
Yep.
So it's definitely, it's not a make or break to have that event at that circuit. Oh, but I think you're being harsh on the circuit. I don't think the circuit is the issue. I think the format is the issue.
You could be right, mate.
And I just think the way the weekend sort of played out was the issue to a large extent. I don't think it is the track. There's actually, seven is a really good passing opportunity. There's not many tracks where you can set someone up like that and basically give them nowhere to go. And that's why we saw big shunts like the Cam McLeod shunt because, and I know from my experience of racing there, like once you're in a bad spot going down that straight, you're knackered. There's nowhere you can cover. There's nothing you can do. You are hugely exposed. So I think the racing can be good there.
Okay. All right, so usually we do this at the end of the show, but because there was a fair bit happening from the weekend, although we're going to take some of it out and save it for next week, welcome to Pit Lane Whispers with your host, AVL and Former. Get comfortable, put some comfy pants on and sit back and listen to this, because there is a bunch of stuff that we need to cover off, rumours, innuendo, outside of stuff that happened in sheds after races. Let's talk about, well, you tell me, is the Perth Street Track a goer?
I think it is, Former.
I'm starting to really
think it is, to be honest.
Is it going past our brewery?
That'd be good. I don't know about that. There was a local news report that did mention Fremantle this morning, but that was it was a slightly misguided report, because it said that it's street race or bust from 2026.
Did they use any quotes in this story?
No.
Oh no. I'm out.
Chuck it in the bin. No, it said it's street track or bust from 2026. Now I don't believe that, because this Perth round is an incredibly important round for teams. Because there's companies that spend a lot of money in Western Australia, funnily enough. And it's an important place for the category to come racing. There's a ride day going on. We're recording on Monday. There had been a ride day going on today out at the track. There is a lot of corporate spend and stuff because, this is the sort of place where large companies that may find themselves involved in motorsport also do a lot of business. So I don't believe there's any threat to the category coming to Western Australia if there's not a street track, but I do think there is something to this street circuit thing.
Come on.
The Deputy Premier, Rita Saffiotti, went for a ride with Frosty on Friday evening. I did my best
to Ryan Wood get in the way?
What's that?
Did Ryan Wood get in the way?
Yes, absolutely. I did my best to stake out the garage and try and get a recorder under her nose, but she was flanked by the likes of Shane Howard and Tim Watsford. They weren't letting any nosy reporters get anywhere near her, I tell you.
Interesting.
But she was very hands-on in the pre-event promotion this year. She was involved in that trip up to Exmouth that the Team 18 guys went on to swim with the whale sharks and all that sort of stuff. Yep. And the whispers from those that have spoken to her is that she is very keen on this street race thing, which is might explain why the Supercars guys weren't too keen on us getting nearer and asking the question about it, because she is apparently very enthusiastic about it, which is awesome. That's like really good. I think it's worth noting that there's no indication that this is something for 2025.
No, I wouldn't. I think it'd be too short now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but season opener in 2026, I reckon it maybe will happen.
How exciting. Mm. I'll give you one, and we've often said in this show before, it's hard to get news out of Formula One, any sort of gossip.
Yeah.
But I got a message from a bloke who has been right in the past, and he told me, well, actually he said this, and I don't appreciate this, but I'm going to give it to you in all its glory. Good news, Former. If my info is right, you'll be able to go to a Grand Prix and also visit seven of your illegitimate children in 2027, because F1 is going to Thailand.
Well, this is your whisper. I want to know more about these children. That's the big news. I actually still have a plane ticket to Thailand to cover the 2020 MotoGP race floating around somewhere. I never quite made it to that one, funnily enough.
It's because you got a double-barreled name, mate. This one was
meant to be the weekend after the 2020 Australian Grand Prix, and funnily enough, jumping on a plane to Thailand wasn't high on the list of priorities at that exact point. So I get an email from Thai Airways every now and then saying, don't forget that you can come to Bangkok whenever you feel like it.
Hang on.
I know nothing about this, mate. This is all you.
Yeah. And the other one that I got, and this is a very rough one, so don't take this and put any money on it, but story is that the Rossi, or Valentino Rossi's MotoGP team, could be going to BMW in 2 years' time from Ducati. So wow. I think they're on Ducatis. Yeah, so
that's BMW coming into MotoGP.
Coming into the sport, yes.
There you go.
That's a rough one. So don't take that to the bank. There's a couple of
Supercars paddock that reckon I work on less sometimes for me. So
exactly right. I haven't got any direct quotes.
Don't put it past me just to blaze this one out there.
No, and the other thing is like I said, next week we'll cover off on what you've told me is a rich pocket of silly season news from around the Supercar paddock.
Yeah, well,
we'll cover off on that next week.
Sure.
All right, let's go to the shift cut. We're only running about 9,000 minutes behind time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, let's start off with the supercars over the weekend. On Saturday, Chaz Mostert, Will Brown and Cameron Waters took the podium spots. Pole position was Chaz Mostert, of course. It was a front row lockout with Ryan Wood in second. Unbelievably good. Richie Stanaway walled it after an engine cut out and he was turned left, but no fault of really Aaron Loves, to be fair. And Erebus had a shocker, to be fair. They just had nothing but bad luck all weekend. JLB had a flat battery. Brody was shouldered into the turn one bunker and it was pretty much day over by then. What did you make of Saturday?
Yeah, look, it was really all about, you know, the I don't know if redemption story is the right word, but certainly for Mostert and Waters, you know, for the win for Mostert, first Ford win for WAU, yep. First Ford win of the season. That was a
big
moment.
I was surprised when I heard that.
I know. I had that conversation many times with people that went, because last year it was all about, you know, can Ford win a race? Whereas this year it's felt very possible, and it's actually quite surprising they hadn't actually, no Ford driver had actually done it. Which is a wonderful place for us to be in terms of parity, which I think, you know, it wasn't really a topic over the weekend. In fact, there were some sort of smirks about how good the Mustangs are going.
Here and there. I actually thought that when I was thinking, geez, it's pretty top heavy in blue up there on that totem pole.
Yeah. Anyway, that was, and obviously like Ryan Wood, that was just a really standout day for him. The way he led that race, the way he's driving, like just what we've said it before. What an exciting talent. What I really enjoyed, because there can be every now and then a bit of a culture of like, and I get that, you know, it's easy to trigger a penalty, you know, your tires are knackered, the guy's coming up behind you, but there is often a bit of a, like, I'm not going to race this bloke because he's going to pass me anyway. And when it was Cam Waters, and so, when Will Brand came up on Woody and then Waters came up, you just knew Woody was going to race him. He was going to go, you know what, I know you're going past me, but it ain't going to be easy. You're going to do it. That, and even the way he almost fired it back under Brown after he had two wheels in the dirt.
That was sketchy.
But it's just so good to see someone that goes, I'm going to make life hard for these dudes. Like, I don't care who they are or the fact that they're going to pass me anyway. And it might be, you know, you could work out that, you know, my total race time will be less if I just let them go. He's like, no, I'm going to park in the middle of the road for a couple of laps. And even the way he said, the way Brown sort of shifted him a bit on the straight, he was like, yeah, well, I was just like blocking like a madman. Like, I would have done the same thing to someone doing that 100%. To me. Like, he just, that awareness of what was going on, but that willingness to engage in proper hard racing, that is every bit as exciting as how fast the bloke is.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, and what I like too is that pretty much over the weekend, as hard as it got out front, from all reports, both on air and after the racing, they were all pretty much, good racing, mate. No dramas, you know. Will Brown copped it on the chin, but also got past. I don't think there was a lot of angst up and down the paddock until after the racing and in the back of sheds. But it seemed like it was pretty amicable from all sides. As we said on Sunday, we went to Sunday. Cameron Waters won from Mostert and Brown. Mostert copped a penalty, obviously. Wood copped a three-place penalty for holding up Winterbottom in qualifying, which was a bit of a shame. Mostert got a five-second penalty for pit lane contact, which was marginal. Brown nerfed Randall into the sand to get past him, copped a five-second penalty, but didn't really matter. And like I said, mate, the Erebus shocker continued. Brody broke down. JLB got spun. They just reversed their roles, but basically spent the same end of the day the same way as they did on Saturday, which was, if they didn't have bad luck, they had none at all.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little unfair on Erebus for Sunday. Brody did a pretty good job in that race before he had, you know, the issue
he was up
that
there.
He had. Yeah, so I think did all right. The penalties were interesting ones. You know, Chaz put his hand up and said that was his mistake. He kind of, you know, the team told him to slot in behind Randall, and he kind of felt that he was going to make it out and he knew better, and that proved to be the wrong decision. the Randall Brown thing was interesting. You know, you could sort of argue it from a number of points, I guess, but when you're making rear contact like that and the guy ends up in the sand, it's a pretty good chance you're going to cop it. And really, 5 seconds that didn't actually affect his race. Oh. You know, I mean, you know, Trandall lost a lot more than 5 seconds, you know, trying to dig himself out of the sand there.
Yep.
So
lost a couple of spots.
I think the penalty was probably fair because again, you know, Tommy was obviously defending really hard as well, but I don't think, you know, I don't think it was ever going to go unpunished at all.
Mm. Yeah, so quite the weekend, I guess. I mean, there wasn't a whole heap of shock results or anything like that. We'll cover off on some stuff later, but yep. I think it was, you know, there wasn't anything where we're like, wow, that's an outstanding result. Courtney was fast in on occasions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting weekend if nothing else. I mean, I didn't think the racing was great as we covered off on before. But probably the biggest talking point over the weekend was an ugly rollover for Cameron McLeod causing a race-ending second red flag in race two of the Dunlop Super 2 Series. He tangled with Cooper Murray as they headed towards the hump on the back straight, and then he spun into the Wanneroo Raceway infield, but then upside down, green, blue, green, blue, green, blue.
Yeah, it was a huge shunt. Absolutely huge shunt.
It's massive.
I think there's a hearing that's going to continue at some point about who was at fault there. I really feel like when you're going in a straight line and you're moving, like, you know, I don't believe the guy behind should be going, oh, this guy's coming across me, I'll get out of the throttle. Like, it's a straight. You know, if you're going around a corner, yes, you know, the lines change, the angles change. You need to make those adjustments. But I think it was I really think that, you know, Murray had every right to just be sitting there with his boot in it.
Yeah, I see that there's an investigation now into the whole thing and it'll obviously continue over the next week or so. I think they've asked for a time to sort of organise some sort of defence and everything else from Cameron's point of view, Cooper Murray's point of view, I should say. It's the second time we've seen a car go into that infield. The last time Pye sort of did some crazy jumping. This time McLean did more backflips than a newly contracted Roosters player.
Cam McLean.
Oh, was it McLeod? Oh, my God, imagine that. What a comeback. McLeod, I should say. Yeah, at the end of the day, but they red flagged it, which gave Zach Bates the win. Probably would have won anyway, to be fair, and the round win. And then only an hour later, his cousin Harry Bates and Coral Taylor overcame a 2-minute deficit to win the Forest Rally in Western Australia.
Not bad, eh? Look at them go. Good
weekend out. Mm. Cameron Waters and Will Brown have both announced that their individual NASCAR Cup Series debuts will be at Sonoma on the same day. Brown will be with Richard Childress Racing, while Waters will be RFK Racing in a Ford Mustang for the June 9 race. I'd say there'll be a fair few people sitting around KO that morning.
Absolutely. That's good. It's kind of weird that like there's going to be these guys in the race, but no Shane in the race.
Strange, eh? I was looking through thinking, please, 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 but
yeah,
no.
But he's not in it. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Formula One, despite having a car that seemed like an absolute handful, he went off a number of times during practice. Max Verstappen somehow stuck it on pole, while Oscar Pistorius was judged to have unnecessarily impeded Kevin Magnussen at the Tamburello chicane during Q1, which resulted in a 3-place grid drop, which hurt him bad given he qualified second fastest. Of course, who inherits second but old mate Lando. In the race, Max actually fought hard to hold off a fast finishing Lando Norris, with Oscar finishing fourth. Ricardo finished outside of the points behind his vertically challenged teammate again, but this time blamed it on poor starts that he doesn't know why the car isn't getting off the line like it should.
Yeah, it seemed like a decent race in the end from what I could see across the...
Yeah, I think I fell asleep just as it was warming up, like an idiot would. It was kind of low for about 20, 30 laps, and then all of a sudden I think it heated up.
It was quite interesting seeing, again, my Eastern States colleagues going, what sort of magical time does Formula One start over here? Like, this is insane. This is so good.
Yeah, you don't know how good you've got it. I'm going to talk about a story by Damian McCartney at Wide World of Sports, because he wrote that Max Verstappen won a 24-hour virtual race only hours before he won the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix at Imola. Verstappen completed two stints, one after F1 qualifying and the other in the morning before the race. For Team Redline in the iRacing Nürburgring 24-hour, he had three other teammates. The race only finished about 10 minutes before the start of the Imola Grand Prix, although Verstappen was not in the car when his car crossed the finish line first. pretty special.
I've stayed up later than that on the sim.
Yeah, but Pornhub doesn't count. Indy qualifying. Oh, right. Indy qualifying, Penske had a 1, 2, and 3. They were low-level flying. Scotty McLaughlin has qualified on pole position for the 2024 Indianapolis 500 in an all-team Penske top three. The Kiwis' effort was the fastest pole run in the history of the event, which is being held this year for the 108th time, at an average of, get this, 234 miles per hour, or 376 kilometers an hour.
It's honking, isn't it? That is.
Can
honking.
You get your mind around that?
No, holy, not even remotely. Yeah, no, nah, cool. That, I mean, obviously, just an incredibly cool outcome. Not that quali means much when it comes to the race itself, but how cool to, you know, sit back and go, like, I'm an Indy pole sitter with eye-watering speed like that. Like, so
unbelievable, cool. Mate. How's this for a stat? It comes from Marshall Pruitt on Twitter. In 1988, pole sitter Rick Mears drove a yellow Pennzoil-sponsored car. The number two starter, Denny Sullivan, was a one-time winner of the Indianapolis 500, and the number three starter, Al Unser, was the defending winner of the 500. This year, Scott McLaughlin drives a Pennzoil-sponsored yellow car. The number two starter will be Will Power. He's a one-time winner of the Indianapolis 500, and the number three starter is Joseph Newnothing, and he's the defending winner of the Indy 500. Could it happen? Could Scotty, as you exclusively predicted in the very first episode of this yes. show, win the Indy 500?
How's my $2 on the stock market looking if he does it as well? How is that looking? I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for reminding me.
I wonder if he had got on in then months, what it would have been worth. Because I don't think your odds would be that great anymore.
That's a very good point. So I've gone from being quite excited about my prediction to being very depressed about the fact that I haven't financially invested in it. So thank you.
Well, you'll be filthy to know that the great horse Full Credit won at Sharp Inn yesterday afternoon.
Oh, really?
So that was good too. Had a little bit on it. What about this? Finally, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Ricky Stenhouse Sr. have traded punches with Kyle Busch in a wild brawl after the NASCAR All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro Speedway. The fight was sparked by an incident which unfolded over the opening two laps of the race when Stenhouse appeared to squeeze Busch into the wall and he responded by completely unloading the 47 Chevy, which sustained significant front end damage. Did you see the fight? Did you see the crash? Can we get this happening in supercars?
I don't miss any of these. I just love it. I love it. I think that this is exactly, it's great. It's great, and NASCAR does it just so very well.
One of the mechanics was there sort of just trying to bring some peace to it, and he was just grabbing blokes and throwing them. And there's this one guy who kept running at him, and Fandingham, he must have picked him up and threw him three or four times and said, no more. It was fantastic.
Brilliant.
Father and son having a fight together. I thought that only happened in weddings.
It's great.
Father and sons, would Mason and Todd Kelly be up for a blue with someone, do you reckon?
Yeah, why not?
Or Steve and Jet.
I was going to say, maybe they're teammates, I think. They could, if things go really south, it could
probably
be
not going to go real well.
Could be that'd be an awesome foursome to see going at it.
All right, it's been the longest break of this podcast. Let's go to a ad and we'll come back with some forward headlines from the weekend. Full credit to the noise. G'day, punters. Supercheap Auto's dodgiest employee, former legend here, and I've got some incredible post-Barbagallo specials for you at Australia's leading auto spares, parts and accessories retailer. What about this? A Thomas Randall novelty Hit Me car sticker kit. Complete with a bullseye target for your rear bumper, it's the perfect accessory to show everyone around you that you don't mind being tapped on the arse, repeatedly, by everyone, often, at just $4.90, a limited tube per customer. Want to come in and grab a Cameron Hill limited edition tube of Loctite? Keep those nuts exactly where they should be. Loctite is perfect for things like, steering racks, only $19 for a 300ml tube. Everyone who owns a car should have some race tape handy, so come down and stock your toolkit with a six-pack of Cameron McLeod race tape. Just $430,000, it'll make almost everything right. Want to show everyone that you're the big man on campus? Grab a pair of these Scott McLaughlin balls of steel. They're just two big shiny balls that leave no one doubting who has the biggest kahunas at just $84 a pair. If you're heading out for a long weekend on the rave scene, or just at home on the sim, then you're going to need a 12-pack of Max Verstappen No-Dos at just $9.80. Get down to Super Cheap Auto before these specials walk out the door, and I'll see you next month for more supercar specials. Gives you some good buys at Super Cheap Auto yet again. Let's go to some forward headlines from the weekend. I'm going to give you a name. You just give me a forward headline to describe their weekend, and we'll start with, or probably the biggest winner of the weekend, Chaz Mostert. What's your forward headline for Chaz?
When he's good, wow. Like, when that bloke's up and about, like, what an incredible race car driver. And his comments about Sam Scafidi, who was a first-time race-winning engineer, you know, his comments about how Sam calls him out when he's not driving well enough, I thought were really interesting. It sort of was an extension of some earlier comments that Chaz made this year. You know, he said that, you know, Adam DeBore probably had too much faith in him because, you know, he feels he's getting better as a driver based on some of the tough love that he gets out of Scaff. So, it was just all around enjoyable to see how well they went on the weekend.
My forward headline is wait, stop, go, no.
That's a good one.
We'll just leave it at that.
That is a good one.
It's a bit of a shame, but anyway.
Yeah.
Will Brown, what's your forward headline for him?
Good luck, everyone else. Like, this has all the hallmarks of a title-winning season about it.
Oh.
I had this in notes for this session we talked about before. How good must it be when this is the bad weekend?
I know.
But I couldn't be more impressed with Will this year. And as long as he doesn't announce some mid-season defection that sends his form down the toilet dramatically, he's just going to get real hard to beat for the championship this year.
If you're a bookie, what odds you give him to win the title?
Oh, they're short.
Less than evens?
Short. Like, there's not much in it. Like I say, those are the weekends that you win titles on.
Yes, I agree.
They are the weekends where,
Jamie,
you win the championship. You put it, you just start to take it away from everyone
else. There's a real Jamie feel to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
My forward headline is, Will, please, the script.
Yeah. You please. Love this one, don't you? You love it.
Come on. All right, how do you wrap up Brock Feeney in four words over the weekend?
Party like it's 2022, because it must feel a bit like having Gen 2 spec Shane Van Gisbergen in that team at the moment for Brock. You know, I think my alternative would have been where there's a will, because, like, Brock is the real deal. And I do think that he will rise to the challenge. I'm just starting to wonder if it's a little late this year already in terms of the title.
Really?
I don't know. Like, it's
scary.
I know it takes one bad round or whatever, but like I say, I think Brock will respond, but I still think that Will is going to have
Does Will get pie or does he get Jamie?
Will gets pie.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
My forward headline for Brock Feeney is taking Will Brown mountain biking. It might be the only way, much like Shane broke a wrist.
Similar little theme we've got going on there.
Yep. Let's go for a mountain bike ride, Will.
Yep.
Don't worry about checking your wheels. They seem to be on tight enough. Andre Heimgartner, forward headline.
Should have mowed the lawns, because I reckon poor old Andre was probably thinking a Sunday at home would have been better spent than running around the back of the field there.
Looked frustrated too when I seen him on screen.
Yeah, look, it was a bit of a fall from grace for BJR again after the little spike of Taupo. Certainly not Andre's fault. Just a bit of a return to the speed issues that team has been battling all year.
My forward headline is missing airports and hotels. I don't think sleeping on your own bed can do you much good by the looks of things. And I don't know whether you know, but I heard a couple of times on the coverage, Andre lives in Perth these days.
Does he?
Yeah, apparently. What about forward headline for anyone with the last name Bates in Perth on the weekend?
I feel like you've included this one for a very specific reason, so I'm going to just let you
don't trample on it.
I don't have one. It's all yours.
Time for Master Bates. Can you put that on Speed Cafe somewhere tomorrow? Just
no thanks.
Slip it in Talk Cafe or something. Just somewhere in there. That would be great.
No
Shell DJR.
Like picking a broken nose. I just can't tell where those guys are at the moment. Like one day it doesn't look all that handy and the next day it looks really good. So she's a roller coaster.
I'm going to say proof of life evident.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, like Saturday, I was like, oh, geez. Sunday, they came out. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
There's something here. So yeah, look, let's see. But at least I had a bad feeling actually on the before the weekend started. They might sort of run at the back and we'd be like, oh yeah, I see what's going on. But no, they were good.
No, okay. Sunday was pretty positive.
Penalties from the driving standards officer. What's your four-word headline around that?
Again, I feel like you've got this here.
Nah, not really.
Oh, really? No, I didn't. No. I didn't really come up with anything. Like it was, they were pretty. They were penalties that you get in supercars.
I feel like penalties don't equal crime. Mm. I feel like 5 seconds. The same penalty that Chaz got as Will. I feel like there's a little bit of inequity there. I might be wrong, and I get it. I get it. I understand. Saying that, the 15 seconds that Tim Slade got for drilling that BJR car was probably worthwhile.
Yeah.
He nailed that thing. Finally, Super 2. What's your four-word headline for the weekend?
Coke's bang for buck, because who needs to sponsor a title-winning main game team when you can back a kid in Super 2 and get all the airtime you need with a simple high-speed rollover?
Yep. I got this one. We made the news because everywhere I looked, supercars were on TV, but they weren't even the big boys. It was just Super 2s rolling down a hill at in Perth. So, that was
wonderful.
It's pretty much
very
it.
Good.
All right, we'll come back because there's a bit to talk about around the Mum's Life sticker challenge with Would I Lie to You?
At one point, this was going to be the great controversy of this episode, and now it's definitely not, but it was going to be. Anyway, let's crack on with it.
Right now, if you're scaffing, critting, screeding, HVACing, dunny diving, or electrician and sparking, then you don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with a work truck that's smoking. You could get an insurance company that includes roadside assistant for when your work truck ain't starting and needs towing. Get onto truckassist.com.au. It's insurance to keep on earning and bacon and egg rolling. Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website.
All right, welcome to the final segment of this episode, maybe ever, because it's rear of grid and there was a bit of controversy last week in the Mum's Life Sticker Challenge.
I don't even think this is controversial yet. The more that I think about this, right? Now, the score, we are reverting the score to 6-9.
6-8.
If it was 7-8, it goes back to 6-9 because the question was...
Hang on, you're making some very quick jumps here. We are doing that. You've already decided.
Let's talk it through. Actually, like Grant, can we stick the stick how you explained it in there? Let's listen to it.
Jacques Villeneuve is the only F1 champion that has never had a fellow competitor die during an F1 round or weekend at the track while he was competing. True or false?
Now. There's a few issues. There's not even just one issue with this. Firstly, and I'll put my hand up and say that like it escaped me at the time, even though it was actually like as we were having our little debrief after the pod that we kind of started to work out there were some holes in this issue. Now,
well, you now, did. I thought it was pretty solid, now, to be honest.
You talked about a driver being killed at the circuit during the weekend.
Mm.
Now, Jules Bianchi's tragic accident was in 2014. He didn't die until the following year.
This is the tragedy of this whole thing, is we have to keep talking about it's like, that. We're not making life hardness of that. Please, understand.
So his death was he didn't pass away at the circuit. It was significantly later, months later.
Yes,
And also Max Verstappen did take part in the 2014 Japanese Grand Prix weekend by participating in practice one. He did not compete. You do not compete in practice. If I was talking to a supercars driver who was going to take part...
Yeah, well, not many of them are talking to you anymore, but keep going. Yeah,
who was going to take part in a co-driver session on a sprint weekend, and he said, I'm off to compete at, you know, whatever, Simmons Plains, I'd be like, what?
Well, he wouldn't say that.
Of course he wouldn't say that.
Can I ask
you
this?
You don't compete in a practice session.
Let's go, practice one comes and goes. P1, right? Max has been out there. And you hear over the loudspeaker in the pits, would all competitors come to the stewards?
He doesn't go. He's not a competitor.
Driver's briefing.
He's not competing. He goes, yeah, cool. This one ain't for me.
Come on, man. I'll bet my left one.
I'm out for the weekend. Anyway, it doesn't matter because the question also specifically says a driver is killed at the track. And that's not what happened either.
Yes.
So.
No, I said it. A death on the weekend.
Listen to it. Listen to it. It's, all right. It is. A bit, so we're.
I feel like Barry Ryan might have had a point about you, mate, to be fair. He might be right.
Thanks, mate. Anyway, no.
Now listen, it's tore social media up this because I've actually had people message me and say out in Twitter land that I was right, you were wrong.
No, but if it's the even the competing thing, we can park it. We can get rid of it because there is a specific mention of that particular weekend.
I'm going to ask you a question here without notice. Are you a single child?
I am not.
Oh, no, come on, mate.
I'm the eldest and like the favourite. Yeah.
I feel like so, you are.
You know, like it's.
You got that real vibe about you. What are we going to do? You want the point. I want the point.
No, there's no. Or do you want to write the point off? The point is mine. There is no. This isn't even.
What about we send it to the socials?
Okay.
Are you willing to send it to the socials? I'm willing
to send it to the socials. But if people listen to the question, it is very, very obviously false, which is what I said.
Oh. No. I don't know, man. I don't know.
He didn't die that weekend. He died on a different weekend.
We'll have to talk to Aaron.
All right.
We'll have to talk to Aaron, put up a poll, and whatever happens, happens.
That can be the Pertic poll on Speak FA next week.
Right. I just need to go on.
Who's right?
Start a bunch of accounts up. That's all I've got to go and do.
Okay. Anyway, let's just, you can work out the score. I'm lost now. What does it mean to be? Let's just get through this. Let's get through this week, and then we'll figure it out.
Okay, so it's either 7-8 or it's 6-9, depending on it. Or it could just be 8-6 and we write it off. Barry, if you're listening, if you want to do a podcast, let me know. Now, listen, in the past, I've got this for you. Is this true or false? But you got to listen carefully, all right? Because I've written this a few times and I've made sure it reads correctly. In the past 15 years... at least one young supercar driver / co-driver subsidized the early part of his career by being a male stripper. Now, this comes with a caveat. If you guess true, and it is true, I'm going to tell you who it is and you can decide whether to leave it on air.
This is a beauty. I'm impressed with this. I'm impressed with this, and I feel like this is something that if it was true, you would definitely know about it. Like, I think you move in circles that would know about this. But I'm going to say it's false.
You're going to say with false. So I'm just going to say it again. If you guess true and it's true, I'll tell you who it is. You're going to say false.
I'm very intrigued. And I see how, but I think you're trying to trap me with that. And I take this challenge very seriously.
I can tell. Don't worry. We can
all
tell.
I'm going to go with false.
Yeah, you got it right. I tried to sell you into it.
I knew it. I knew it.
Fair enough. Well done. Well done.
That took
some
willpower.
I'll give you that one.
I was wrong. That took some real willpower there. That was hard to... Hard to resist.
Will Power, he's second on the grid. Good stuff. All right, our fan letter of the week. And don't forget, you can message us at any of the platforms at FCTTN Podcast, Insta, Facebook, or Twitter. This one comes from Brendan John Lloyd on Facebook. He says, "Yo, legends, former and otherwise. If a car or bike progresses through extra qualifying, like on the weekend at Perth, or the Fast 6 in Indy, or similar in MotoGP, do they get extra tyres? I'm not sure if Indy and MotoGP have limited tyres on a weekend, but supercars, I don't think they do they?"
No, there are no extra tyres for supercars for progression and qualifying. That's why we do see guys make it into the 10 and then only do one run. I'm pretty sure Matt Payne did that on Saturday in Perth, actually. He used an extra set of greens to get into the top 10 and then basically had to throw the third segment. Pretty sure MotoGP is a set number of tyres for the weekend, regardless of whether you come through
Q1.
Sure,
you're right there.
F1, you do, I think, get an extra set of tyres for Q3 because they want to stop people not like burning up their tyres to get into Q3 and then not doing anything.
Correct.
And I think they had an issue where basically Q1 would start and nothing would happen, or everyone would do a lap and nothing would happen for the last 6 minutes of the session. So that's when they brought the extra tyres in. And for the Indy 500, you get two extra sets for the fast 12, which one of which has to be used the previous day in practice, and then another set for the fast 6 to answer that.
There you go.
So
have you done the Indy 500?
No, I have not.
Hmm. Have you got any interest?
What, in, like competing in it? Or?
To go into it? No, of course not. I know that.
Yes, I would obviously like to get the Indy 500. Yes, definitely.
Are you proposing
a trip next year or what?
Yeah, we'll do a Q&A podcast. No phones, obviously.
Nice.
Get Will Power to do the talking for us. I'm sure he'd be good loose. We'll bring his brother as well because his brother's loose. His brother's a very loose individual, good bloke. All right, that'll do us for this episode of Full Grit of the Noise. Don't forget, you can find this show on all the socials at FCTTN Podcast. You can read AVL's excellent work, despite what some people say, at speedcafe.com. You can read all the big breaking news and also the Pertec poll. You know it makes sense. Go for the little guy, the underdog.
There's not
going to
be a Pertec poll.
No.
Hit us up on socials. You're clearly wrong. It was clearly wrong. It's my point. Let us know.
You got nervous all of a sudden. Until next time, I've been Formal Legend. He's been AVL. It's been Full Credit the Noise. We'll see you in the sheds.
Bye. Full Credit the Noise.